Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Tetzaveh, a little bit of our Parshas Zohar at the end, Tavshin Peivav, as we get back into the schedule of Shiurim. So we start off with something, a thought that I think I mentioned many years ago, and they quote this thought, and there's a machlokas, I guess, in the Mesorah, who said what, and who asked who, and who gave the answer. In any case, the story is told for the beginning of the Parsha, as we know, the only Parsha that doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name, even though it always connects to Zion Adar on the calendar. We start off with the mitzvah of the Havakas HaNeros. And the story is that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik once met the Imre Emes, the Gera Rebbe in Warsaw. You have it in this first source. This is from the Torah Chaim, which is a sefer with a collection of thoughts from Reb Chaim and other Soloveitchiks. So this is the way that the story is told here. That one time they were in Warsaw. Vayatzlo Admar Ha'imri Emes, the Gera Rebbe, Visholo Solmar Nagrach, and Reb Chaim asked him about the Medrash Tanchuma on this week's Parsha. The Medrash says, Amrim Chanina Skana Kohanim, Aniya Yisimish Shamish Bebeis HaMikdash, Umay Sanisim Haya Beminorah. I was in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a miracle. What was the miracle? Mishahayu Madlikin Osa Merosh Hashanah, Lohaisa Mischaba Shana Acheres. When they lit the menorah, it lit for a whole year. They didn't have to relight it. It's a whole year. Upamachas Lohasu Azesim Shemin, Hischilo Kanim Lechambos. Right? V'yamar V'chenis Kanakonim, Anisi Beis HaMikdash, M'tazim Menorah Doka, Yoz Masha Dohi Doka Yimos Hashanah. So it was lit for many years. Say Asrub Chaim. Isn't there a mitzvah of Halakas Neros Kol Yom? So this was saying that they didn't do that mitzvah. Hello, line 9. Halakas HaMenorah Haisa B'chol Yom. The MK mitzvah LaHalakas Neros. He was so proud that he was in the Beis HaMikdash and he saw this amazing miracle, but he didn't do the mitzvah. Right? Isn't there a mitzvah of Halakas every day? So I've also seen the version of the story that the Gera Rebbe asked Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim gave this answer, but here in this story, Reb Chaim asked the Gera Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave the answer. And that is the Gemara says in Beitza, it's also quoted in the Rambam, the Nosin Shemen Shebener Chayiv Misha Mavir, from a Hilchah Shabbos idea. If somebody adds in one drop of oil into a lit candle, they are Chayiv for Mavir, for the Malach of lighting a fire. What do you mean? They lit a fire, the fire was lit already. No, but if I'm Mosif, if I increase the fuel, that's enough to be considered Mavir. So if it works for Hilchos Shabbos, then it could also work for Hilchos Hadzlaka. And if it's Chayiv for Hilchos Shabbos, that's called a Maisa of Mavir. So too, what they do every night, they added a drop. They added a drop, and then that was good enough for the Maisa Hadzlaka. V'gam nasa nesha yachol lo kol alayla mitipa achas. So either you could say it was all lit and they just added a drop to the full cup, or the drop was what let it light every night. But either way, that was the emes. Reb Chaim himself, quoting here, gives a different answer, and that is the lekach mitzvah hadlaka. How do you have to redefine the mitzvah? There's no mitzvah of lighting the candles. The mitzvah of taking care of the candles. Hatava. What is hatava saneros? Right, that's the language of the pasuk. Behetivo saneros. What is hatava? That means making sure it's all good. Cleaning out the wicks, putting in a new wick, taking out old. Like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumidin, Im Kain, Al Karchach, Sha'afa Bishaisa Menorah, Deluka Kalashana. Even if it was lit, Mikal Makom Heitivo Asaneros, Shemisachnan Asapsila, they fixed the wick, right? They did, whatever they had to do. So that they did every day. And that, it's a more inclusive mitzvah. Others formulate this as, again, I saw many versions of this conversation. I don't know how many conversations took place, but maybe Reb Chaim said that the mitzvah is sheyihu dulukim, not that there's a maisad zlaka. The mitzvah is the result to make sure they're lit. So if you make sure they're lit every day, so then that's good enough, and that will be good enough for the neighbors. Okay, whatever the version is, these are discussions of that medrash tanchuma. Okay. The parsha starts off, as we have said, with a mitzvah of Neros, mitzvah of candles. If you look in the end of the parsha, the last section of the parsha, we know the first half of the parsha is all about the big day kahuna, And then we have the miluim. And then at the end of the parsha, as if the Torah says, oh, we forgot this. Obviously not, we didn't forget it, but we have the last kli that probably should have been mentioned last week, but for reasons that are given by the Mefarshim, especially at the end of this week's parsha. And that is the little Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKtoris. That's the last section of the parsha. Mizbeach HaKtoris, also called Mizbeach HaZoah, Mizbeach HaPnimi. So the Torah start, the parsha starts off with Shemen, with the menorah, and it ends with the Mizbeach HaKtoris. Victor of Aaron, Ketoros Samim, Baboker Aboker, Behetimo Asaneros Yakirena. And it's interesting that the Ketoros and the menorah are put in context of each other in terms of when they're supposed to be done. As I just read, there's two psukim towards the end of the parsha, Chafta Zayin. Victor of Aaron, Ketoros Samim, when do you mock to the Ketoros? Baboker Aboker, Behetimo Asaneros Yakirena. When you do Atavas Aneros, then you're mock to it. So Ketoros is done by Atavas Aneris. And next pasuk, Uvahalos Aronas Aneris Ben Arbaim Yaktirana. When you do the Neris, then you're Maktir. We just said that, but again we're emphasizing it. Ketoros Tamid Lefnei Hashem Udaros Eichem. The Ketoros and the Shemen are put together. So what is the relationship between these two avodos that are both done in the Heichal, right? In the Shulchan. The Shulchan is there always. That's the done on Shabbos. They switch the loaves. But the Ketores and the menorah are done each and every day. So what's the relationship? Says Reb Blumenzweig. It's source number two. It's halachti besochachem. Ha-parshasena posachas betzivui al halas and eres b'menorah. U-mesayemes betzivui al ha-ketores ha-ketores. Me-apsukam olesh yish kesher. There's a kesher between the two. Kesher between the two as we just mentioned. Haktoras Vashem and Azayish Shemimenu Dokim Neros HaMenorah Yotzrim Yachad Es HaShleimus Sheima Ba'asimcha. There's a type of shleimus, completeness, that is seen when we see both of these avodos together. And he starts off by quoting two midrashim. One medrash that says B'nei Yisrael are B'simcha, and one medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'simcha. Let's read the midrashim. When the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur with the Ketores, and the Ketores, the smoke went straight up. It went straight up, and then it spread. So we know that the Ketores and the Avodah done properly brings Kapara for Klal Yisrael. So, turn over. Source number three. Nimseis Omer. Shekohen Gadol v'chol Yisrael martitim. B'shar shekohen Gadol nechas l'fei v'lefnim. B'nei Yisrael and everyone were very nervous and anxious. What's going to be? Ad shehayah yotzei b'shalom. Once he was yotzei b'shalom after the Ketores, ha'isa simcha gedola b'Yisrael. Shenis kabel. It was a simcha gedola for Klal Yisrael that their tilos were mekubal. Shem or Shemen uktoras yismach lei v'chulu Shemen zekohen gadol shenimshach Shemen amishcha v'uktoras eli Yisrael. And they were smechen. Sheironan uktoras sheyed metamer v'olev ha'yu smechen. So on the one hand, this first medrash says that the ktoras brought simcha to Klal Yisrael. And if you look at the next medrash that he quotes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets simcha, kaviyachol. Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, in the next medrash. Mikulchem ein li el kohen gadol shenimshach b'shem ha'mishcha. Va'ani sameach bo. I look at the kohen gadol who was nimshach, va'ani sameach bo. Uktoras el Yisrael, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'kal kamana shatem kreit makriven ein achaviv alai k'toras. Hashem loves the k'toras, but the simcha is with the shem ha'mishcha. So we see this, these two avodos bring simcha, one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one to Am Yisrael. But now he says, fascinatingly, let's talk about the two and the differences between the two and how they're mashlim each other. Again, the beginning of the parsha, the Shemen, the menorah, and the end of the parsha, the Ketoros. Hashemen einu misarev b'mayim, middle, line 24. Oil doesn't mix. Right? Oil floats to the top. Tzafu me'alehem. Nivdal hu umufrash. El yonu mishubach. Even if you try to mix oil with water, oil is going to go to the top. Oil symbolizes separateness, isolation. Domelo a kohen gadol
Shayachu l'shevet ha-kohuna, ha-mufrash mitoch Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol is part of the shevet ha-kohanim, who is separated, v'lo od el shemitocha mufrashu levado, and then the Kohen Gadol himself is separated. Havdala al-gabe havdala. Nivchar hu mikol Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol symbolizes separateness, he has the oil sprinkled on him, hu ha-ish ha-elyon ha-ma'ula, shenichnas l'fnai v'lefnim. Ein pella, shashem edafku mishamish l'havdala so. The oil itself inherently is separate. It does not mix. And the soy that is nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha also is designated and separated. The Ktores, Hanukkah is also, Hanukkah relates to the oil being separate. Haktores hafucha mei Hashemen. The Ktores symbolizes the opposite. Ktores, we know Ktores in Aramaic means katar, means to be tied. Lashon kishur, kitur. In Yana, remember, Rashi quotes by Keturah, right? Lashu Kitur. She tied herself closed. In Yana, who kesher v'iruv, murkeves himi samamonim rabim. Ktores is a combination of 11 different spices, ha-me'ur bavim yachta, that are together. Bahem tzmachim sheto altamu etes, vav tzemach shetzrecho ra, ha-chelbana. Even the chelbana is mixed together. Kendome lo, Knesset Yisrael. Murkeves himi minad gadol shel ishim. We are, Ktores symbolizes all of Klai Yisrael together. We make up the cloud. So while Shemen symbolizes isolation, Ktores symbolizes mixing and knotting together. Number one. Number two, a second difference between the two. Bein or la'anan. See towards the bottom. Hashemen hu amadlikas or haminora. Oil is used for light. Light clarifies. Light, removes any darkness. Ha'ar megale u'mavhiras ha'tmuna. It clarifies the picture. Chosefes ha'kayam reveals what is there. Beheiro misgalim hevdelim bin or litzel. By light, by a candle, you separate the light from the shadow. Notzeres havchanot. We're able to see distinctions. Zo yisod adinu meromim. And that's why Or HaMenorah symbolizes Chachma, because we're able to see and to clarify. But, skip a couple of lines. Pulas HaKtores HaFucha. What does a Ktores do? It's the opposite. Ktores doesn't clarify or clear up. It creates a cloud. And a cloud is darkness. And a cloud is fogginess and not clear. Lo Dayash Enam of the Eres U'mavhira. Not only does it not clarify or light up, Ela Asha he af yotzeres misuch. There's a mask. There's a blurry picture in front. Mechases hakol ka'anan. Right? It's like a cloud. Haktoras nasis bachashoy v'totasa hareach eino niris kar ha-menorah. It's not. There's no clarity. It's covered. It's hidden. So shemen oil it creates separateness, and the ktoras creates togetherness. Shemen clarifies and lights up, while Ktores makes a cloud unclear, makes things unclear, and it covers up. One final point, and then we see what the balance is by putting these together. If you look at the psukim that describe the oil and the Ktores, by the menorah, they're both in the Heichal, we know. But there's a different word, a slight difference between the formulation in the Torah. Ba'oel moed, Michutz la paroches, asher al ho'edus. By the candles, it says, Michutz la paroches. By the Ktores, it says, Venasata oso, lifnei ha paroches, asher al ho'edus. They're in the same place. One's north, one's south. But in the same place, the shulchan's in the mizbech is in the, I'm sorry, I take it back, mizbech is in the middle. The menorah is in the south, the shulchan's in the north, right? But they're next to each other. And so why are they both in the Heichal? So why by the menorah says michutz, as if to contrast and separate it from the paroches? And the ktaras is that it's lifnei. So explains Reb Blumenzweig, it's the same idea. The menorah sees and clarifies and could separate and remove tov and ra. Could take the tov and put away the ra. That's what menorahs, the or is about. It's about making havchanas, about making distinctions, right? Menorah, or ha-menorah, line 25, kashuram nam ba-or ha-da'as, ba-oso yisod ha-elyon, ha-mesugal la-havchin bein tov la-ra. Right? If there's clarity, I know what to accept and what to reject. which is a great thing on the one hand. While Ktores, darkness, and lack of clarity, it's hard to know. Hard to see the difference between Tov and Ra, and Or and Choshech. So it's more inclusive. A cloud goes over everything. It's more inclusive. It covers. It keeps everything. But explains Reb Blumenzweig in the continuation, there's a mile and a chisoron for each one. It's good to be inclusive. But it's good to recognize what one has to reject and the protection that one has to have. And the shemen and the menorah together, again, not reading everything inside, is to have the balance. To have the balance of inclusiveness and exclusivity. To take, to know, to be mevarer, and take the ochel and be mevarer the psoles. Or even if we have some psoles, to protect ourselves having that psoles within us, like the chelbana symbolized in the Ktores. And that's what he says on the top. In life, we always have to know how to be inclusive and how to guard ourselves and have that exclusivity. And he says that's what Purim's about. Also, he talks about this, to know Amalek, but to reach a level of Adelo Yada. He continues in the end discussing that, but that is this idea of the symbolism of the Shemen and the Ktores. Inclusiveness, and based on, so to speak, the Ktores and the Kesher, while the menorah symbolizes light and clarity and the ability to separate between Or and Choshech and Tov and Ra. Okay. Ner Mitzvah is, there's a difference between the two, between Ner and Torah, but that's what it symbolizes. The menorah symbolizes the light of Torah. Okay. Let's move on to the next part of the same discussion. But we have the menorah, but right after the menorah, we have Moshe Rabbeinu being given the tzivui of bringing Aaron HaKohen close and making him basically into a Kohen. Va'ata perachavches. Hakrevi lechas Aaron achich v'esbanav ito. Bring close together Aaron and his sons. Mitoch b'nei Yisrael v'lecha hanoli. To become Kohanim. Aaron, Adav Aviyu, Alaz Veisomer B'nei Aaron. L'chavod l'chahan oli, where the Gemara darshins in the first parak of Besachah Zvachim, relating to the Big Day Kahuna, the first, for the beginning, that's the second parak, that Bizvan Shebegdeim Aleim, Kuhunasam Aleim, that they actually become Kohanim through the Begadim. Yassis Big Day Kahuna, Aaron Achicha, L'chavod, Ule Sefaras, and again it says two psukim later, L'kadsho, L'chahan oli. To become Kohanim. Says the Medrash. If you look in the Apirion, top left of the page, source number 6. The Apirion, that's the author, if you remember, of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is commentary on Chumash. Says the Medrash, Dover Acher. V'yata hakrevi lecha hadahu dechziv. Lule torascha sha'ashuai azavadati bi'anyi. The Medrash darshins the pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes. Were it not for your Torah, David HaMelech says, I would be lost. Kisha Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe V'yata HaKrevi Lecha Heralo. When Hashem said to Moshe, bring your brother Aaron close, Moshe was upset. Doesn't say what he was upset about. We don't think that it was just pure jealousy. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the Anav Mikol Adam, and how he and his brothers, Aaron HaKohen was very happy for him when he was the Goel. So what does this mean? We'll see. Amar lo, Hashem says to Moshe, Torah haisali, unesati elecha. I had Torah and I gave it to you. I was the nosen Torah. You were the shliach, she'ilale hi avati olami. Like based on the pasuk in Tehillim. Without the Torah, the whole world would have been lost. That's the conversation between Moshe and Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, bring your brother Aaron close and his sons and make them Kohanim. Moshe gets upset. Hashem says, don't worry, I gave you the Torah. How does that answer the question? How does that answer the question? That's the question of the Apirion. And there's another Medrash. Then we'll put the two Medrashim together. Skip down. He quotes the Yifei Tohar, one of the Mefarshim on the Medrash, but we're going to skip that. The second paragraph, Vernilafini, Zaiti, quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. Isa, Davar Acher Batal Marom Olam Hashem. Amar David, Ribon HaOlamim. Misha'atan Nosein Romam Musla Adam, Eine Zaza Hemen LaOlam.
When you give some type of position, Romamus, greatness to a person, it never leaves that. Never leaves him.
Nasata LaBeis David Es HaMalchus, Eine Zaza Hemen LaOlam.
You gave Malchus Beis David to David HaMelech's family, so it's the him, his forever.
Shenemar V'David Avdi, Nasi Lahem LaOlam.
Nasata LaAaron Es HaKahuna, you gave Aaron Kahuna, his family forever.
Eine Zaza Mimenu LiOlam.
Shenemar V'Haisa Lo Ulazaro Acharav Bris Kuhunas Olam.
The Medrash says that David HaMelech, Malchus forever. Aaron HaKohen, Kahuna forever.
See if that's true. Well, one second. There's one other cat there.
V'hine, line 31, Yesh L'shol, L'fizeh, Amai lo nimshecha romamus Moshe l'zara racharav.
David HaMelech gets the Malchus and it stays with him. Aaron HaKohen gets the Kuna and it stays with him. Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Torah and it doesn't stay with him. Right?
V'lo zacha leben sheyimaleis
b'koma. We know Moshe Rabbeinu's children did not follow perfectly and become, you know, we know they didn't become leaders. Yeshua was the one that took over from Moshe Rabbeinu. Not Moshe, right? Not Moshe's children. So why not? Why did Hashgacha have it that the Keter of Torah was not transferred to Moshe's children?
Venira says the Apirion, the Yesh Lomar, ki zehoya b'Hashgachas HaBor Yisbarach Shemo.
It was Dafka. B'Hashgachas Hashem.
Shalo yiela Moshe ben Arawi shiimser lo Moshe as a Torah.
He didn't want Moshe to have the next generation. Moshe gave a Torah misirim b'sara le to one of his sons. He didn't want that. Why?
Ki imhaya kain. If it was true that Moshe Rabbeinu would give it to his sons, hayu svurim, then we might have thought, or some might have thought, haolam svurim haolam shagam keser Torah yirusha.
Well, just like keser kuhuna keser malchus are for a specific family. Maybe Torah is also for a specific family.
V'hayu ponim es atzma min haTorah.
V'hayu omrim, and people would have said,
ki dai shezaru shel Moshe levadam yizaskuba.
Right, it's enough for Zera Moshe. Just like I'm not part of Malchus Beis David, I'm not part of Shevet HaKahuna, I'm also not part of Torah, one might have thought, had Moshe Rabbeinu's children followed.
L'chein hera kadosh baruch hu. Ki haTorah enena Yerusha, rak hefker.
No, Torah is open to all. It's not a specific Yerusha to one family. Kelarot elezakos, yachol ezakos. But whoever wants to come take the keser of Torah can get it.
Kamosh amar Tana, like the Tana says, in Pirkei Avos, haskein atzmacha lil motorah she'in Yerusha lach.
It wasn't given to you by your forefather, you have to work for it.
V'hada be'emes, shina haTorah kadosh baruch hu, keser Torah, mi keser gunu, keser malchus.
And why is that? Why did Hashem change that? That Keser Torah is for all.
V'nira pashut mishum da Torah hi hechrachit l'kiyum ha'olam.
Yoser v'yoser mikunu v'malchus. The world can live without Kohanim and without a king. But we can't live without Torah. Can't live without Torah. And therefore Hashem needed to, so to speak, not leave this Romamus in Moshe Rabbeinu's family so that it's for the good of the world to continue in Torah. And that's what he says. That's the Medrash. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe? Aaron, bring your brother Aaron. Make him a Kohen. And Moshe was upset. He wasn't upset that Aaron was getting the Kahuna. He was upset thinking about his own Keser. Thinking about the Keser of Kahuna and the Keser of Malchus. And he thinks the Keser of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but Torah haisa li unisatia lach. If I wouldn't be doing this, it would be ne'avad. As David HaMelech says, Lui teras chashashu as avati ban, the whole world would be avad. But there's one more diyuk that he has in this medrash. Unetatialach, the lashon of matana. Next paragraph on the right. V'nei matzanu sheyesh chiluk bein lashon matana l'lashon yerusha. There's a difference between yerusha and matana, a gift and an inheritance. Ki ha'omer, so in Hilchis gifts. Ki ha'omer, sadezu b'matana l'ploni kol yemei chayav. If somebody says, based on Gemara's Baba Kama, if somebody says, I'm giving Reuven this gift, as long as Reuven is alive, v'yacharav tiyel l'ploni, and then after Reuven, it should go to Shimon. Tzvarav kayamim, he's allowed to do that. If it's a gift. There could be
limitations on the gift. Avala omer sadazu yirash ploni. V'yacharav yelaploni.
I want this field to be yarshin by Reuven and afterwards to be yarshin by someone else. That, you can't do that.
Yerush is automatic. Once the first guy gets it, he yarshins it, then it's his.
Zacha arishon legamrei ve'en la'achron klum.
Why?
Mishum dematana yesh lahefsik. A matana is a hefsik. It's given to you and then you can choose to give it to whoever you want.
Matana yesh lahefsik v'yerusha ein lahefsik.
Based on that, now we go back to the Medrash and our Medayik in the verb that is used. Nasan. Not just based on what we said earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset and Hashem says it's a keser, it has to be for all because the world would be ne'evad without it. But, says the Apirion, V'yesh Lomar, line 9, Jizil Pirush and Medrash. Now put everything together.
Kishamar, Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe V'ata Hakrevi Lecha.
Heralo, Moshe was upset. Why? Kihaya wrote to Lashamesh Bekuna. He wanted some type of eternal keter. So he says, what about this Torah one?
Vayasover mitchil shemaya royal. She answered the Torah. Yado bavadi roy gam lekahuna.
V'chulu. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. It's not because of anything you did wrong. It's because the Torah has to be open to all.
Tzorich, the Kohen could be specific to one family. The Atalokain, line 22.
Kiatora nitatia lecha. I gave it to you as a matana, not as a Yerusha.
Pirisha tehei etzlecha betoras matana. Shvi matana, she yesh la hefsich. Which has a hefsich. Ubina bincha lo yirash kitra.
Right, your son will not get it.
Vatama sher beemes esatia. Why did I give it to you as a matana and not as Yerusha? Huzeshi loli hiuvati olami. Because the world would cease to exist if the Torah wouldn't be alive, chai v'kayim. Alkein meharoi, gikolish asher yachbots, lezakos, b'kisra yizke, because of this reality, that it didn't go stay in your family, that is why it is for the continuity and the eternal nature of the Torah, that is how and why it was given over. Okay. That's something major. Okay. Okay. We'll get there. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Continuing along. Parshas Tetzaveh in general, as we know, the largest topic in the parsha is the Bigdei Kehuna, and much has been discussed by the Mefarshim. Why such a focus on clothing? Such a focus on Begad. Rabbi Sachs, in one of his Sfarim, one of the later Sfarim that came out posthumously, called I Believe, in source number 8. Tetzaveh seems to run counter to some fundamental values of Yahadus, of Judaism. Right, number one, there's a lot of need for Re'iyah here. Right, we've discussed that Yahadus, we place a major emphasis on Shemiya, on hearing. Right, Na'aseh, the nishma, right? We hear, not so much re'iyah, right? There's a Gemara is about that our emuna is based on what we call shmia and not re'iyah. The vestments were made to be seen, right? The clothing, though, in Bita Kehuna is l'kavod l'sevaras. They were intended to impress the eye. But Judaism is a religion of the ear more than the eye. Shema Yisrael. He writes, Shema is a dominant theme in Sefer Dvarim, that shorish of Shema, appears no less than 92 times. Sefer Dvarim is the biggest Sefer Musar, is the greatest, the oldest Sefer Musar that we have. Jewish spirituality is about listening more than looking. Right? That's why we say Shema Yisrael. Right? So what is it? Why is there such a focus here? Says Rabbi Sachs, relating to Re'iyah and not Shmiah. He says, the reason this has to do with the Torah's battle against idolatry, he says that many others saw, they saw the sun, they saw the moon, and what they saw, they worshipped. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not seen, right? And that is he is beyond what is seen. God is not in nature, but beyond it. He created it and transcends it. Right? So Hashem is beyond Re'iyah. That's the focus of our religion, usually we thought. Right, that the turn the page. Instead, Hashem reveals himself primarily in words. Right, Hashem, we heard. We are roim es akolos, whatever that means, but It's the kolos, right? But the question is, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim here in these parshios, starting last week already, the Kalim. The Kalim have to be gorgeous and beautiful and the curtains, but there's a lot on Re'ia here. Clearly the Mishkan, later the Beis HaMikdash, were exceptions to this. Their emphasis was on the visual. And a key example is the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol's Big Day Kahuna. But how they looked royal, they looked regal. And this is very unexpected, says Rabbi Sachs. Right? The Hebrew word for garment, beged, is also bogate. Right? Betrayal. Right? It's the same shorish. Right? Shamnu bagadnu. And we see throughout Sefer Bereishis, wherever begadim are mentioned, it generally has something to do with chet. Look throughout Sefer Bereishis, wherever begadim. These are the coverings of the Alei Te'ina Adam and Chava received after eating from the Eitz Hadas. Yaakov wore Esav's clothes when he took the blessings. Tamar wore the clothes of his Onah to deceive Yehuda. The brothers use Yosef's bloodstained cloak. Every story, clothing, has some type of covering up. Right? Potiphar's wife used the cloak Yosef had left behind as evidence. Yosef himself took advantage of the viceroy's clothing to conceal his identity from his brothers. So it is exceptionally unusual that the Torah should now concern itself in a positive way with clothes, garments, and vestments. And he says again, this is just bolstering the question. Clothes have to do with surface, not depth, with the outward, not the inward, with appearance rather than reality. So what is going on here? One other ha'ara, which is maybe the beginning of the answer, as he says, and that is, this is the first time, as he writes in the bottom left, the first time we encounter the concept of not just begadim, but a uniform, a standardized form of dress worn not because of the individual wearing it, because of the office that he holds. A Kohen Gadol. In general, again, Yadus does not focus on a position, but on the person. Right. So what's going on here with the focus on the begadim? So suggests, and he adds more questions, right? L'chavod l'sefares is quoted in this week's parsha. For the first time, we have the concept of tiferes, the concept of kavod. So what exactly is going on here? So he suggests, again, maybe one has to hold like Rashi, according to this idea, and not the Ramban. Rashi is the one that holds that the Mishkan, really, in Muktam Muchar Batorah, and really the Mishkan took place after the Chet Ha'egel. Rabban does not say that, but that's Rashi, based on Chazal. So Rabbi Sachs suggests on the bottom right now, the answer is deeply connected to the Chet Ha'egel. What was reflected in the Chet Ha'egel? The people cannot fully relate to a God who gave them no permanent and visible sign of his presence, and who could only be communicated with by the greatest of prophets, the greatest of Nevi'im. We needed, what did the Chet Ha'egel show? According to this, we needed some type of place or even visual connection, not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one that would remind us what's behind. The Torah was given to ordinary human beings, not angels or unique individuals like Moshe. Like we just said, Torah wasn't just given to Moshe. It's hard to believe in a God of everywhere in general, but nowhere in particular. It's a great line. It's a hard to sustain a relationship with a God who is only evident in miracles and unique events, but not in everyday life. The Mishkan, therefore, was a place dafka to be inspired, to look at, to be connected to, though, what's behind. Obviously, not to look at to serve. I think Rashi quotes at the end of Parshas Bahar or Chazal, not to ubiktashi tira'u, not mi mikdash, aval mi mishe, Mora'ah al HaMikdash. So the Mishkan became the visible sign of God's continual presence in the midst of his people. Right? What does Gemara and Shabbos say? That was the menorah. The Rama Paskas, we like the menorah in the morning too. Lo la'ora hutzarech. It's not because of the light that we have that we need the menorah, but it's because of the symbol of the Shekhinah resting. Those who officiated there did so. Why did the Kohanim wear special begadim? Not because of themselves. That's why they wore the same ones. Not because of their personal greatness, like Moshe, but because of birth and office signaled by their vestments. The Mishkan represents acknowledgement of the fact that human spirituality is about emotions, not just intellect, the heart, not just the minds. So aesthetics inspire us. That's true. But when we see something beautiful, what do we say? We say in Osa Masa Bereshis, we say other brachas relating that beauty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that, of course, is what was meant by the Mishkan and by the Mikdash. He goes to Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, but he says there is a place for the aesthetics and the beauty in the right context. Again, it has to be mitzuveh. The Beis Halevi, we mentioned this many years ago, in Parshas Kisisa says, what's the difference between the Kruvim and the Egel? They're both graven golden images, right? The answer is, it's not graven, only one, right? When it comes to the Kruvim, that was mitzuveh. That was mitzuveh. Once it's mitzuveh by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do it to fulfill His will, so then that is why how that could be a conduit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not chas v'shalom, a substitute, like the egel was meant to be, according to some. So Rabbi Sack says, why is there a focus on re'iyah and dafka here? Not in general, but in the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to go, to be inspired by, that's where re'iyah plays a role. Okay. Let's get to some of the begadim. So we have the four begadim of the Kohen Hedyot and the four begadim, added begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So if we look in the pasuk about the choshen, the plate with the breastplate with the rows of jewels on it, so that's connected to the ephod. The ephod is the apron, and it holds the choshen in place, and you tie it down on top and on the bottom so that it doesn't shake. Says the pasuk describing the choshen. Says the pasuk. Let's go to pasuk. There's pasuk tesvav. And then later on, there's Chaf Ches Tesvav, and the others we have. The pasuk says, "V'yasisa Choshen Mishpat." Where's the beginning of the Choshen? Here it is. Pasuk Tesvav. Yeah, Chaf Ches Tesvav. "V'yasisa Choshen Mishpat Maaseh Choshev K'maaseh Eifo Ta'asanu." The Choshen should be made Maaseh Choshev. What is Maaseh Choshev? So Chazal explained what Maaseh Choshev is and Maaseh Oreg, but the Torah here connects the Choshen with the Ephod. Vasisa Choshen Mishpat Maaseh Choshev K'Maaseh Ephod Ta'asenu. Both the Ephod and the Choshen are called Maaseh Choshev. Back in Pasuk Vav, the Ephod is Maaseh Choshev and the Choshen is Maaseh Choshev. So Maaseh Choshev, the Pasha Pshat is that it's describing a certain type of weaving. Right, so they're weaving. Rashi quotes them back on Pasuk Vav. Maaseh Choshev is where you have two different pictures on the sides, right? Unlike the same picture, but the Kleyakar goes in a different direction. The Kleyakar says maybe there's something about the Choshen and the Ephod, those two begadim, that have to do with Machshava. Have to do with Machshava. Maaseh, it's a Maisa that connects to Machshava. Lo hizkir b'chol ha-begadim, says the Klal Yakar in source number 11. Lo hizkir b'chol ha-begadim maaseh choshev ki'im be'efod v'choshen. Just those two. Why? So he says, let's remember what the Gemara says. What choshen is mechaper about? An ephod. L'fi shezem moresh ha-kapara zu hi al eze avon prati. Sha'amachshava bo kemaisa dami. Right? This language of maaseh choshev points me in the direction that it's connected to an avera of the mind. Maaseh Choshev. V'zeh eino matzui ki'im. So where do you have that? So number one, you have it by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Kiddushin, says that's an exception to the rule. Avodah Zarah. What does the Gemara say? The Eifod is Mechaper on Avodah Zarah. Right? Each of the Begadim are Mechaper. Where is that? In Zvachim, around Peches or so. Kimavur l'mala b'maaseh ha'eifod. So the ephod is Avodah Zarah. Right? The ephod, some over the Avodah Zarah, wore certain aprons. So that's ephod. What about Choshen? Choshen is b'chaper on Ivus Hadin, on crookedness in judgment. V'choshen abal l'chaper al kilkol hadinim. So how does that come up with Machshava? Ki hadinim heim dvarm ha-mesurim el leiv hadayan. Right? Din, judgment, is given over to it's the decision of the judge. Ki ein l'dayin ki yemash ein avroos. The dayin, the judges, make decisions based on what's in their heart. V'ubiyado lomar al yamin shu smov al smov shu yamin. And the dayin could say, he has jurisdiction. He's allowed, he can. Not that he's allowed. He has to judge properly. But he has the ability to make decisions. Kviya inyan, kviya ish, kviya zman, ukviya makom. V'yamamar yomar adayan. Kachaya nira be'enai. If a dayan makes a decision, miyuchal hachisho. Who could contradict the dayan? Bilti Hashem levado. Habochin libos b'nei adam. The sins of a dayan are b'machshava. V'yamalkein hayachoshen osan levaron. That's why the choshen was on his heart. Ki adina misur melalev. Right, the decisions come from the heart. V'yalkein haya maisa choshev l'chash l'chater amachshev es hadayan. That's why these two kalim, out of all the other kalim, out of all eight, the ephod and the choshen are connected to machshava because the ephod is connected to the machshava of avodah zarah and machshava kemaisa when it comes to avodah zarah. Somebody's makabel ke'eloha. And mishpat, the choshen mishpat is connected to the decisions of the dayan. And that's what he says. He even finds these two things are, these two chatam are either connected in a chazal. If you look at the continuation, he continues, V'alkein haya ma'isa choshev l'chaber ha'choshev t'adayin. Ulufi shenem ar ma'isa choshev k'ma'isa eifod, the Torah beferish even connects it, tala inyan ha'cheshev be'eifod lomar l'chashe kilkul adinim shakul k'neged avodah zarah. Right, he says avodah zarah and kilkul dinim are even connected, not just in the pasuk of connecting eifod and choshev, but the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin. Kalamam adayin she'no hagun, if somebody messes up in judgment, part of messing up is appointing inappropriate judges. Kilonat Ashera, right? It's connected to Avodah Zarah. I know Avodah Zarah. Al Kain Amar Shachoshen Mishpat Machaper LaDinim. That's how these two Choshen Mishpat is Machaper on inappropriate dinim. Yehi Kemaisa Eifon Machaper LaAvodah Zarah. Those two, and he finds other examples as well. Okay, one more. I'm trying to squeeze in as much as we can in this Tetzaveh. Again, there's so much to talk about, but got to pick and choose. This is one thought that we mentioned a number of years ago, but I thought we mentioned it again from Rabbeinu Bachai. I have to have a comment of the Rishonim in the Shir. And that is the Me'il. The Me'il is described, Eifokulo Tcheles. We know there's a long coat, all of Tcheles. Right? Not like Tzitzis, which only has a couple of strings of Tcheles. It's all Tcheles, and the bottom of the Me'il had bells. Pa'amon zahav rimon, pa'amon zahav rimon, al shulei ha-me'il saviv. Why is that? V'hayal Aaron l'shareis. It was for Aaron to wear when he did the service. V'nishma kolo b'vo'al ha-kodesh. Whenever he moved, everybody knew he was coming. V'nishma kolo b'vo'al ha-kodesh l'fnei Hashem. But specifically, the Torah says that his sound can be heard when he's nichnas l'fnei Hashem. U'b'tseiso v'lo yamus. Well, when's the nichnas lefnim? It sounds like when he goes all the way inside. That's what it sounds like. B'vo'al HaKodesh, says Rabbeinu Bachai. Every detail in Hilchas Kodshim, as we know, teaches us something. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, line 12. V'lim de Torah derech eretz. La'adam arosa li'kanes lefnei ha-melech. She'yehemakish b'pesach ha'echot chila. K'desh li'kanes pitom. First of all, before you go into a room, just knock. Before you go into a Adam Chashuv's office. Malchusa da'arake, Malchusa da'arakia. Number one, it teaches us, again, many halachas, it's not about the inanimate. We cover the chalos, so the chalos is not embarrassed. We have a ramp up to the mizbeach, so the steps are not embarrassed. So here too, it's to teach us. It's not like if you're going in, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be ready. But to teach us derech eretz, it's number one. But then he says, va'od. There's another idea, va'od l'tam achir. Kidei she'yivada ha'davar sha'kohen ha'gadol rotzeh li'kanes. So that people know, not just me, it's derech eretz for me to announce myself, but it's derech eretz so that all inside know. V'yafal bi sha'kol galui v'yadua etzel ha'shchina. Gam etzel ha'malachim meshar si ha'kodesh ha'shalafana. And even though the malachim might realize that I'm coming in, but tamadavar kadeshalu yifku bamin amalachim hakadoshim. Skip a line. Line 11. Azhara la malachim. She yifnu makam lavosha melech. So that the malachim, they know to leave. Just like the bells, message one, is a message for me. Maybe it's a message for me to recognize that when the Kohen Gadol goes in,
based on the Gemara in Yuma as well, and the Yerushalmi, that even the Malachim are not in the Kodesh Kadashim when the Kohen Gadol comes in. So that it's only him, like we mentioned in the past, yes, the idea of Tzeitzchem L'Shalom, that when we come to the Shabbos table, the Sfasemes and the Shem Yishmuel suggest that Tzeitzchem L'Shalom, we say to the Malachim, even you can't be here, is just Yichud with the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's maybe what the bells remind us. Again, the Malachim don't need the bells to hear and to realize that the Kohen Gadol is going in. They know about it, but it's to remind us that we are alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Rabbeinu Bachai. One final point before we get to Zachar, and that is just a short conversation. We had a conversation at the beginning of this year. We have another conversation. It's quoted here in the Kol Yechiel, Nisselbaum. Right? It's a Likut. He was one of the last Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. He lived in Borough Park. And so he quotes there that there was a go named Rav Zerach Meislish, who lived in Prague at the same time as the Noda B'Yehuda. Noda B'Yehuda was the chief rabbi. And he, maybe it says, Lo Chai B'Shalom, didn't get perfectly along with the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda was the one that was chosen. Hisriya Yomecha B'Fanav, so one day he comes to Noda B'Yehuda and says, She'enu Mashgiach Hashkocha Maspekas HaKol Ha'ir. He says, you should be giving more tochacha. You should be giving more rebuke. You should have more hashkocha on the city. Hatzibur eni yirei shamayim dayu. They don't have enough yirei shamayim. V'naso ma'isachei merubin. They're sinning. So he goes to Noda B'Yehuda and says, you know what? You need to take a stronger hand. The Noda B'Yehuda turns to him and says, Ma b'kochi lasos. Harigam atoyoshe b'prag. What do you mean? You're a fellow Jew. There's a mitzvah of tochacha on everybody. Why am I different than you? So he answers him with the pasuk Chavches Lamed Ches. Chavches Lamed Ches. He answers him, Sa the Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen has the wears the tzitz, and what does the pasuk say? Vaya Metzach Aaron Vanasa Aaron Es Avona Kadashim. Aaron HaKohen will carry the sin. Asher Yakdishu Bnei Yisrael. L'chol matnos kadsheyem. What does that mean? So the way that Reb Zerach darshin in the pasuk, Ragaz Rabbi Zerach, Vada achrayut chagdol yoser, you have more achrayas, shkenatanotel schar, because you're paid. You're paid, you're the paid spiritual leader, and therefore, v'nas aron adabana kadashim, l'chol matnos kadsheyem, because you get the matanos, so you're going to carry the sin. Okay. Doesn't say what the Noda B'Yehuda answered, but the Beis Halevi, Haya Omer, used to say a similar idea a little bit later. He says, really, all Jews, fellow Jews, have to be part of the trying to keep the level up. But everyone else are Shomer China. And the paid spiritual leaders are Shomer Sachar. So Shomer Sachar has higher responsibility. That's the way that he said it. Again, it does not say how the conversation went, but that's the suggestion based on the pasuk. Okay. Let's end with the, again, Parsha Zachar. We could have had a whole shiur on Parsha Zachar, but as I always like to do, to focus mostly on the Parsha and then to add one or two thoughts on the time of year. So Parsha Zachar, Purim Beth Hashem, there will be a shiur next week, Motzai Shushan Purim, but that's next week. So Zachar is Hashem HaSolcha Amalek, Amalek. Sri Chan Lahavin says, the Sari Alafim, says Rabbi Tursky, Ma'ashanira kistira mufureshes. Number one, it's a stira. First, we say, Zachar is Hashem HaSolcha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you, and then it says, wipe out the Zachar of Amalek. So we're supposed to remember or not remember. Zachar is Hashem HaSolcha Amalek, Timcha Zachar Amalek. Number one. Number two, again, we're going to do this just a little, not going to read so much inside to try to finish it. Number one. Number two, question. Od Yesh Lahav in line 6, Masha Pazak Balashan Yachid Lecha. What do you mean, Zachari Sashar Salacha Amalek? And then it goes back to Beseischem. Number 3, Vechain Tevis Mitachas Hashamayim. Wipe him out Mitachas Hashamayim. What's that emphasizing? Number 4, line 12, Hamamina Torah Minayin. What's the remez from Hamamina Torah? Hamana Eitz Asher Tzivisicha. The remez for Haman is from the Eitz Hadas. Mahakesher. What is the connection?
between Haman and the Eitz Hadas. Reish Lakish, line 16, Amar Reish Lakish. Golev Yaduah Lefnei Misha Amar V'Haya Ha'olam. The Gemara Megillah, Reish Lakish says, Hashem knew that Haman was going to be Shokel Shkalim and take money, give money for the wiping out of the Jews. So our Shkalim came before his Shkalim. What's the connection between his Shkalim and our Shkalim? So says Rabbi Tversky, to answer all these questions, V'ef Shar Lomar. Shemelchemes Yisrael Amalei Ki Ba'atzma Melchemes Avoseim Yaakov Esav. B'nei Yisrael and Amalek, the same achlokas as their forefathers, Yaakov and Esav. What does it say in Vayishlach? What does Esav say? Yeshli Rav. Yaakov, Yeshli Kol. Esav never has enough. He has mana, he wants matayim. Esav wants more and more and more. Yaakov Avinu, midas hestapkus. Yeshli Kol. Whatever Hashem gives me is what I'm supposed to have. Bottom right, midazu kona adam idea munasa shashem isbarhu tachlas atov. If I don't have it, I'm not supposed to have it. But Hashem forgot something. Hashem messed up. Hashem didn't give me something I'm supposed to have. If it's good for me, I would have it. If it's not good for me, I won't have it. Yaakov Avinu is Yeshli Kol. Esav is Yeshli Rav. I have a lot, but I could have a lot more. What does Esav say to Yaakov? Middle column, Yehi Lecha Asher Lach. Yehi Lecha. What is that being Merami's to? Lecha is the opposite of Kol. Esav is telling Yaakov, forget about the Kol, Yev Kol. He Lecha. Flip it around. Always want more. Osios Lecha, line 13. Heim Hefech Osios Kol, Lahoros. Sheratza, middle column. Sheratza Lafoch Midas Aztapkus. Esav is trying to convince Yaakov. Take the Lecha attitude. The opposite of Kol. For you. What's in it for you? And that's exactly what Amalek is about. Zachar Esa Sher Asa Lecha Amalek. Amalek tried to give us the attitude of not Kol. Always want more. Lecha. Bederech Bateschem in Mitzrayim. Because we ran out of Mitzrayim. Ratza Amalek Shalashpi Aleichem. Choser is Tapkus. Don't think that you have everything you need. Right? Have some doubts. Right? Amalek, Safik. That's Amalek. But wait a minute, says Rabbi Tversky, I'm not the MS, but really, that's only in the world of Gashmias that we should have feel like we have enough. But in the world of Ruchnias, we should always want more. We should have Yeshli Rav by Ruchnias, and Esav is the opposite. Esav and Amalek, when it comes to Ruchnias, I got plenty. I don't need any more. I'm a fine individual. Right? That's why Yaakov is from the word Akiv. He's just at the heel. He's a lot more to do. Esav is from the word asui. It's done already. He's already achieved shlemus. Says these are the attitudes. Yeshli Rav and Yeshli Kol. And in Ruchnius, it is flipped. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, Mordechai, before we get to Mordechai, it's a little cut off on the side. He says that, Haman, as we know, Haman menatar minayin, hamena eitz hazeh. That's exactly this attitude, right? Haman had everything except one little Jew that wouldn't bow down to him. One little Jew, right? Many point this out, but he has it as part of his larger framework. And that's also Machzaz HaShekel, right? Haman needs a lot of shekelim. But what do we say? Hashem says, just half a shekel. That's all you need. Half a shekel, a little bit. Little bit is all you need. Little bit. And then he says, amazingly, he says that Mordechai is maybe flip around the letters, kerem dai. I have a vineyard, I have wine, dai, that's enough for me. Haman is for the word mana. You have mana, rotsa masayim. Right? You have some, you want more, and there's always more. And we, always are looking for ways to overcome our the koach of Amalek, but the attitude of, that's expressed here in the, sorry, Alafim is telling us, be happy with what we have in Gashmias. In Ruchnias, always want more. Amalek is flipping it, but we have to do v'nafochu. Again, he continues more. But Yiratzon, he quotes at the end that we should be moche. We should uproot and erase the shame of Amalek. Mitachas hashamayim. Right? Only from what's under the heavens. Meaning there's a difference between Gashmias and Ruchnias. We should have our own attitude when it comes to Gashmias of enough, but when it comes to Ruchnias, obviously we should never have enough. Okay, we'll stop here, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue next week with Parshas Ki Sisa.